Blog Talk Radio.
God, I'm going to talk to the people while you're getting everything ready for digital stuff.
I know. Listen, we had a little internet failure yesterday, so I really apologize to you guys. That lesson was getting good too, wasn't it? So we're in a remote location. Reggie is in one area, and I'm in a different area, and we don't have access to our studio today. We're calling from our cell phone. So I won't be able to take calls unless Gloria logs in and she can tell me that she can take calls. So anyway, but yesterday we were talking about, I just want to kind of go back, we were talking about the law of giving. I really think that we got the bulk of that, but we'll touch on it a little bit this morning. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to go ahead and take us into our morning prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, are we ever grateful to be alive in this most exciting time in the year 2012? Mm-hmm. This is the time of fifth dimensional ascension that you are taking us into, and we are raising our vibration to match that of love and kindness and peace and prosperity, and getting rid of the old vibration of resentment and hate and jealousy and anger and malice. We leave those things behind. So we have to change our vibration, and we do right now, to move into a place of love and ascension with the angels and power and ascended masters. And in Sananda, known as Jesus, we thank you for the energy of giving us power and poise and grace. We give so that it may be given unto us, and we receive gratefully and give gratefully. We thank you for everything that is, and thank you for using Cynthia as an instrument for the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit to touch people and touch their lives and let them change the way they look at things and be at peace. We believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So what I'm going to do today is just quickly go through the law of giving so we can kind of pick up with where we left off. We were at a cliff yesterday when everything crashed on us. But here's the thing to remember. Life itself is the eternal dance of consciousness that expresses itself as the dynamic exchange of impulses of intelligence between microcosm and macrocosm, between the human body and the universal body, between the human mind and the cosmic mind. And so when you learn to give that which you seek, you activate and you choreograph this beautiful dance with an exquisite an energetic and a vital movement that constitutes the eternal throb of life. So in other words, we want you to get into the flow. When you're talking about the law of giving, you might as well say the law of receiving, because the flow is give, receive, give, receive, give, receive. And the best way to put the law of giving into operation is to start that whole process of getting into that flow. And Deepak calls it the process of circulation. So you want to make a decision that anytime you come into contact with anyone, you will give them something. If it's nothing but a smile. Because what is that? You're sharing the joy within you when you smile at them, right? It doesn't have to be in the form of material things. It could be a flower. It could be a compliment. Or it could even be a prayer. But give them something. In fact, the most powerful forms of giving are not even material things. And the gifts of caring, the gifts of attention, the gifts of affection and appreciation and love are some of the most precious gifts that you can give. And they don't cost anything. So when you meet someone, you can silently send them a blessing. Wishing them happiness, wishing them joy and laughter. Because this kind of silent giving is very, very powerful. Now, one of the things that they teach children is never to go to anyone's house without bringing something. Never visit anyone without bringing them a gift. And you may say, okay, well, how can I give to others when at the moment I don't have enough myself? Bring them a flower, just one flower. You can bring a note card or something that says about your feelings for the person that you're visiting. You can bring a compliment. You can bring a prayer. But make a decision to give wherever you go, to whomever you see. As long as you're giving, you will be receiving. And the more you give, well, the more confidence you will gain in the miraculous effects of this loss. And as you receive more, then your ability to give more will also increase. So our true nature is one of affluence and abundance. We are naturally affluent because nature supports every need and every desire. And we lack nothing because our eternal nature is one of pure potentiality and infinite possibilities. So therefore, you must know that you are already inherently affluent, no matter how much or how little money you have, because the source of all wealth is the field of pure potentiality. And it is the consciousness that knows how to fulfill every need, including your joy, your love, your laughter, your peace, your harmony and knowledge. If you seek these things first, doesn't the Bible tell us, think on these things? Not only for yourself. You're seeking this not only for yourself, but for others. And all else will come to you spontaneously. I just think that's totally awesome. Don't you, Dr. Reggie?
I do. I think it's beautiful because you know what? The more you think about something and put your eternal focus on it, it expands tremendously because substance is affected by thought. Can you imagine?
Yes.
When you think about something, for example, oh, my goodness, I need about $500 extra. So what do? You see $500, five $100 bills in front of you on the table, in your hand, wherever it is. Then you release it. Just say thank you. You don't keep asking, well, when is it coming? Where is it? Because you're telling God what to do. You project God answers in the story.
I love that. And in the process of visualizing those five crisp bills, then you're also Think of five things that you can be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then also think of five people that you can bless with a prayer.
Right.
You want to immediately move into the state of giving. Okay, because remember, money is an energy. It's an exchange of energy. That's all it represents. Okay, today we're going to talk about the law of karma.
Is there a bell barking somewhere?
I'm in the, I'm sorry, Dr. Reggie, I'm in the, people are brewing coffee here.
Oh, is that what it is? I said, oh my God, I can hear the sound.
Okay. All right. So, I just want to remind you guys I would like for you to make a commitment to keep wealth circulating in your life just by giving and receiving life's most precious gifts. And these are the things that absolutely cost you nothing. Be loving and caring and give away that love. Give away the caring. Give away the affection and the appreciation, because each time you meet someone, just silently wish them happiness and joy and laughter. Okay, so now we're going to move into the law of karma, or the cause and effect. And here's how the chapter opens. Every action generates a force of energy that returns to us in like kind. So what we sow is what we reap. Right, Dr. Reggie?
That's right.
And when we choose actions that bring happiness and success to others, well, the fruit of our karma is happiness and success. Now do you see why the law of giving is so important? Because if every person you meet is, you're sending them love and you're sending them happiness and you're saying a prayer for their affluence and everything, then you're giving and then you're creating that energy flow. You don't have that block of flow. Please remember that, okay, as we move through this lesson this morning. Karma is the eternal assertion of human freedom. Our thoughts, our words and deeds are the threads of the net which we throw around ourselves. So this, the third spiritual law of success, is the law of karma in both action and the consequence of that action. In other words, it is cause and effect simultaneously, because every action generates a force of energy that returns to us in like kind. So if you're angry and you're not nice to someone, it's going to come back to you in the same form. Remember that life is that we're always projecting outward. It's not circumstances from the outward projecting to us. It's what's coming from inside of us that's projecting outward into the manifest world, the physical world that we experience. So if you notice these laws, it's all about changing you from the inside so that your outside reflects what's inside of you. Okay? What's inside? There is nothing that's unfamiliar with the law of karma, because everyone has heard the expression, what you sow is what you reap. And obviously, if we want to create happiness in our lives, we must learn to sow the seeds of happiness. Therefore, karma implies the action of conscious choice making. You know, it is the path that you have chosen, this spiritual path that you have chosen, means that you are working to become consciously aware of your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. And that your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions are loving always, uplifting, and positive. Now, here's the thing that I want to say to you. The first place that you need to love, the first person you need to love is you. So when you fall short of being positive or thinking good thoughts, when you fall just a little short, be loving to yourself and gentle with yourself, because you are growing. You are developing. And if you don't get it completely right this lifetime, you definitely will have another lifetime to practice. We have all eternity to move into this space, into the consciousness of being pure love, because that's what we are anyway. So don't beat yourself up, because that is counter effect, you know, it's counter to what you're trying to achieve in the first place, right? So the first person to be kind to is you. In every moment of our existence, we are in that field of all possibilities where we have access to an infinity of choices, and some of these choices are made consciously while others are made unconsciously. But the best way to understand and to maximize the use of karmic law is to become consciously aware of the choices that we make in every moment. Whether you like it or not, everything that is happening at this moment is a result of the choices that you have made in the past. And unfortunately, a lot of us, including me, we make choices unconsciously, and therefore we don't think they are choices, but they are. And if I were to insult you, you would most likely make the choice of being offended. If I were to pay you a compliment, you would most likely make the choice of being pleased or flattered. But think about it. It's still a choice. So I could offend you and I could insult you, and you can make the choice of not being offended. I could pay you a compliment, and you can make the choice of not letting that flatter you either. In other words, most of us, even though we are infinite choice makers, we have become bundles of conditioned reflexes that are constantly being triggered by people and circumstances into very predictable outcomes of behavior. And these conditioned reflexes are like the Pavlovian conditioning. Pavlov is famous for demonstrating that if you give a dog something to eat every time you ring a bell, soon the dog starts salivating when you just ring the bell, because it has associated one stimulus with the other. So most of us, as a result of this kind of conditioning, have repetitious and predictable responses to the stimuli in our environment. Our reactions seem to be automatically triggered by people and circumstances, and we forget that these are still choices that we are making in every moment of our existence. We are simply making these choices unconsciously. So if you step back for a moment and witness the choices that you are making as you make these choices, then in just this act of witnessing, you take the whole process from the unconscious realm into the conscious realm. And this procedure of conscious choice making and witnessing is very, very empowering. So when you make any choice at all, you can ask yourself two things. First of all, what are the consequences of this choice that I'm making? What are the consequences of this choice that I am making? And in your heart, you will immediately know what these are. And then secondly, you want to ask, will this choice that I'm making now bring happiness to me and to those around me? So if the answer is yes, then go ahead with that choice. But if the answer is no, if that choice brings distress either to you or to those around you, then don't make that choice. It's as simple as that. It's just that simple. So there is only one choice out of the infinity of choices available in every second. And that one choice will create happiness for you as well as for those around you. And when you make that one choice, it will result in a form of behavior that is called spontaneous right action. So now what is that? Spontaneous right action is the right action at the right moment. It's the right response to every situation as it happens. It's the action that nourishes you and everyone else who is influenced by that action. There's a very interesting mechanism that the universe has to help you make spontaneously correct choices, and that mechanism has to do with the sensations in your body. Your body experiences two kinds of sensations. There's one of a sensation of comfort, and the other is a sensation of discomfort. So at the moment that you consciously make a choice, pay attention to your body and ask your body, if I make this choice, what happens? And if your body sends a message of comfort, that's the right choice. But if your body sends a message of discomfort, then it's not the appropriate choice. Take a deep breath right now, please. This is, you know, these principles seem so easy, and they are very easy, but you have to consciously think upon them. And so your exercise for today is to pay attention to the choices that you're making from moment to moment and how your body is responding to the choices that you're making. And remember, it's all a choice. You know, what I love about making a choice is that if one thing doesn't work out, I can make another choice. I don't have to spend time beating myself up. I can just say, oh, well, that didn't work. And what will be really nice is if I pay attention to my body, because you are always connected to source energy. Equal in meaning, you are always connected to God. And that source energy is always communicating with you. The question is, are you listening? And one of the ways that it communicates is how you feel, because that's energy. Your emotions are energy in motion. If there's no joy, no happiness, and no overwhelming feeling of love, you've got a problem. You need to pay attention and say, you know, I don't know what's down that road, but something, my body is saying, don't go there. I don't know what's really wrong with this opportunity that's being presented to me, but my body is saying, don't do this. If you pay attention to your body and the sensations that you're feeling, your body will almost be seem as though it is screaming at you, girl, don't do that. And it happens. For me, I can remember the times when it happened, specifically in relationships, and I ignored it, and then the relationship would just be drama. The universe, source, God is always communicating with you. Listen. That's what you need to learn to do. Just listen. Just listen. So, now, for some people, the message of comfort and discomfort in this area of the solar plexus, and we know that that area is down near our navel, right? But for most people, it's in the area of the heart. Consciously put your attention in the heart and ask your heart what to do. And then just wait for a response. A physical response in the form of a sensation. But we're so anxious to do one thing or another. We don't stop to contemplate. We don't stop to ask our higher self, what is the right action here? You have available at your fingertips the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. Why would you not consult it? Because you haven't been trained. Because you don't know how. And over, we've talked about the importance of your emotions and how your emotions are your guide. Dr. Reggie says that your emotions are your Geiger counter. You know, when you're looking for radiation with a Geiger counter, and when it gets close to radiation, it begins clicking really, really fast. When your emotions hit that rate, your heart, and your heart opens with warmth and love. That's the same as the Geiger counter going because you're in the boundaries of love. All we need to do is to learn to listen. The answer will always be provided. Always. So the other part of listening is what, Dr. Reggie? Trusting, is it not?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. You know, a lot, I was just thinking, Cynthia, when you were talking, and a very powerful thought came to me from the Holy Spirit that you people are listening and you are in the new age, so-called new age community, and you came to earth as light workers. You incarnated on this planet in this lifetime at this time to provide assistance on earth to other people. Many of you came from different celestial councils across the universes. And it's really funny that some people who are star seeds and all of you are ascension angels. And what's very powerful about this, many people don't know where their power is. They are spiritual teachers and healers and celestial beings that come from different systems of the stars. We have got to learn to know who we are and love ourselves and maintain our connection to the Creator and the Christ consciousness, which is our divinity. And Cynthia gave me a lot of innovative ideas to think about because this is very powerful information. It's not just hearing it like it's a cartoon. We have to really live these principles of giving, sowing, and reaping, and understanding to help others who are less enlightened than we are.
Wow. So, thank you so much for reminding us that we are light workers
mm-hmm.
and that we should consult our higher self when we're making
yes.
choices in this life. We need, if you're a light worker, you need to keep an even keel with your emotions and always come from the place of your heart. But that means training yourself. And again, I said, don't
mm-hmm.
beat yourself up over the times that maybe your anger or your resentment kind of takes over. Just stop and say, you know what, it's okay. Look how quickly I'm remembering to get back on track, to get back on track. So only the heart knows the correct answer. You don't need to call all your friends and say, do you think I ought to take this job? Do you think I ought to do this? Do you think I should make this investment? What do you think? What do you think? Ooh, I'm guilty of that. There's only one that you need to consult, your higher self. And then you need to pay attention to what you feel in your heart. You are the master of your life. And you have the best senior partner in the whole universe, and that is Source, God. Just learn to trust. What does the way of the wizard say? Trust and trust, and have faith and faith. Most people think that the heart is mushy and sentimental, but it's not. The heart is intuitive. It's holistic, it's contextual, it's relational. It doesn't have a win-lose orientation. It taps into the cosmic computer, the field of pure potentiality, of pure knowledge, and infinite organizing power, and it takes everything into account. And at times it may not even seem rational, but the heart has a computing ability that is far more accurate and far more precise than anything within the limits of rational thought. So when you use this law of karma and to create money or to create affluence and the flow of all good things to you anytime you want, but you must first become consciously aware that your future is generated by the choices you are making in every moment of your life. And if you do this on a regular basis, then you are making full use of the law of karma. Because the more you bring your choices into the level of your conscious awareness, the more you will make those choices which are spontaneously correct, both for you and for those around you. So tomorrow, we're going to talk about karma. Oh, well, actually, we won't have a lesson tomorrow. Tomorrow is Oracle Friday. I know you're looking forward to that. And we're going to have a special guest tomorrow. Allison is a pet intuitive. So for all of you that have the little furry face friends, it's their time to get a reading. Please tweet your friends that Allison will be visiting with us tomorrow to give pet intuitive guidance or to give the owner's guidance to what the pets need. So it's going to be a fun day tomorrow, okay? Dr. Reggie, I'm going to ask you to take us into our closing prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the energy of giving and receiving, knowing that that's a very powerful message. And that we as human beings on this planet are walking into a beautiful place of ascension. That's a place of spiritual revolution and transcendence. And I thank you that the whole planet is going through it. Let us learn, always learn, that you are in control of everything on the planet, including our lives. Let us always tap in to the energy of giving and receiving. And that we know this time a planetary shift has occurred. In December 21st, 2012, the beautiful power of the winter solstice brings us literally our whole solar system into a shift into the fourth and fifth dimensions. Let us get anchored vibrationally that we can also stand the energy of this shift. And it's very powerful, and we are very loving. No matter what we do, let us stay in the flow of everything dealing with humanity. It's our ascension and our love. It's all conditioned by the power of our heart, as Cynthia mentioned today. And we thank you for the energy of the heart chakra and the power of love and of giving and receiving, never selfishly, but with gratitude. I believe it is so. We go forth, and so it is.
And so it is. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.